Amen. Amen.
No. Let's see if I had that right. It's actually beneath the water. You have to imagine yourself kind of in Peter's boat, out of water. Situation seemed like it was under control. Jesus said, come out. Things got a little crazy, a little scary. Doubting. I'm not supposed to be on the water. This is physically impossible. He looked at the circumstances, and the circumstances screamed louder and louder. The water. In through the water came the hand of Jesus. I love that picture. There's a meme that runs around. About everybody's seen it if you're on Facebook. It's of Jesus reaching through the water. We will rise, but it's going to be through him. We're not going to do it on our own powers. Right now, there's so many people trying to do stuff on their own power. It's not going to happen. You can't just buckle down and be a super Christian. All you're going to do is burn yourself out because it's under your own power. It's through the power of Christ that we live. It's through him that we have our being. Everything we are, everything about us is because of him and what he did. So let's remember that. Amen? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that when we're trying to do your will and we let the situation get the best of us, you're not there judging, you're not there condemning, you're there reaching through the water to pull us up. So that we may rise, that we may fulfill the call that you have. Whatever task it was we were tasked with, we will accomplish it through you. And now, Father, we present to you today our tithes and our offerings. Lord God, I bless them according to your word, pressed down, shaken together. Lord, I speak life right now into each and every person who's missing here today due to sickness. Lord, I thank you right now. You're touching their bodies. You're healing them. You're restoring their energy. You're restoring life back into their very bones. Now, Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. They miss him so much when he's drumming. It's like he went away to another world. Praise God. Well, I hope we've regained everybody we lost online a few minutes ago. I had to restart the session because even Miss Vicky had said, is anybody else's screen froze? Well, mine had too after I logged in, and so that meant there was a problem. So hopefully we've rectified that. So, yeah, real quick.
You know, yesterday you were saying that about Peter on the water. So, but you know, that's so true for myself. I don't know about anybody else, but when I get my focus off of God and my troubles seem to be so big, I sink into the water.
Yeah.
But he's right there to bring you back up, to refocus, you know, refocus your life on that. So, I don't know. Maybe somebody needs to hear that, but you know, when troubles in our lives come, they're going to come, and the storms are going to.
Yep.
And when we cast that on Christ, and he's right there, right there.
Yep.
So that was just a confirmation.
Yeah, good. Praise God. See, it's for somebody. You know, we're all in different little bouts. little boxing bouts, little fights. We all got our own little things. Most of you know we only have one cat. I think the other two may have become eagle snacks. I'm not for sure, but we saw a bald eagle behind the barn the other day circling. It's like, yeah. He's a growing one too, so. But anyhow, when we start asking God to do things and to move in us, he starts working in us. You know, there's a lot of things about myself that I haven't liked. And it's like, God, I know I need to change. I know I need to change, but I can't do this without you. And, you know, and I know my family's prayed, and they're still running bets on things, but but y'all, you know, and I know this is so, it's really so ridiculous, but this whole cat thing is, one, it's taken a few people by surprise, and, you know, and I think even Addie had posted, said something the other day, art, a cat, and I said, it's a kinder, gentler art, and, you know, I got to thinking about it. I was like, yeah, I've just been kind of a little bit of a jerk. But, you know, here's how you have to know that God is doing something in you. The other day we had the opportunity. This cat would not come near anybody. It would run and it would just, I mean, it's just a tiny little thing. And it's like, we got to get you some food. The other day we were putting food in there trying to find it. We could hear it. And I went around to the other side of the shed, and, well, there it was. Its eyes were both crusted shut, and it was just sitting there meowing. And so I just quietly snuck, because it could hear me really well, and I quietly snuck up on it and reached down and just kind of grabbed it. Well, before I got out of the building, I was bit 4 times. And it was hissing, and it had its claws sunk into my gloves, and it bit through my gloves. Now, y'all need to understand, I didn't throw the cat. I just said, that'll be enough of that. We need to stop this. And I started calming the cat down, and it took it a while, and it quit biting me. And it calmed down, and then it curled up there, and it started purring. And we brought it in because of the temperatures, because it was by itself, and its water and food were freezing. And it couldn't see, so it's game, because I told you about the Bengal cat we have. They're notorious hunters, and it's a domestic cat, but, and the eagles and the coyotes and anything else that might want to eat it, to and include our dog. But we brought it in, and that's where the running bet is going, how long it's going to be before it's an inside cat, which is never. I watched too many videos of cats climbing on furniture and knocking stuff over. Sorry. Besides that, the chipmunks are outside. And but anyhow, you know, I've sat and I've cleaned its eyes, soaked its eyes down with some warm water and put some drops in them and got it cleaned up. And now we can see it does have 2 regular eyes. It just had a cold or a sickness, and now it's getting out of it. But now that it can see me more, the cat is hissing at me more because it's locked in a cage in the basement. And just so you know, it's a big cage. It's Remy's cage, so he may never go back in it. And but, you know, I just thought, you know what, there was no reason for me to act like that towards every cat. And like I told Angel, I said, you know, I don't need to do that. It's not... Well, it's just an animal. Yeah, it's an animal that I was put here on this earth to care for. We need to go back to Genesis. We were put here to care for the earth. The earth can't take care of itself. Everybody, I want to do whatever I want. No, you can't do whatever you want. There are consequences. Y'all want to figure out something about why these stupid storms are hitting us? When was the last time they sent a rocket up? A couple weeks ago? I've told you, my belief is every time they send a rocket up, we have a weird, bad storm come. So now it's cold front and these snow fronts and all this stuff. We have to take care of this place. This is our home. People forget that. I'm so sick and tired. Well, this place ain't my home. Hallelujah, heaven's glory. No, Jesus had to go prepare a place because that's not your home. And finish reading Revelation. Please. There's a whole city that comes down on a new heaven and a new earth. A new earth. So it's going to be just like this place, except without sin. That's going to be fantastic. Because that's all this earth knows now is turmoil. This earth has gone through so much in and of itself. And this was something God created that he thought about. Put it in orbit and I'm going to put some life on there. I'm going to put these things on there that who knows how many years later people are going to call them great, terrible lizards. Come to find out some of them had feathers and all this stuff. I mean, it's, in my opinion, it's pretty awesome. But, you know, that all takes place because of this little thing that Jesus did. He gave his life for us. He paid a price. We read this last week in 1 Corinthians. We were bought with a price. We are the bride who was redeemed. We were paid for with a price, and that price was his blood. And the contract that we made to engage in a marriage was receiving Jesus as our Lord. Now, I want to continue on in some of this stuff about what the marriage, because that's a big deal. It's coming up. We have the whole thing coming up. It's unfolding before our eyes if we'll open them. And so they got the marriage. And I told you that sometimes the groom would always give the bride a gift. And when the groom would give the bride a gift, you know, people say, well, what'd we get? What gift did Jesus bring, give us? Well, let's understand first off, he said, my peace I leave with you. That's a gift. You need to understand peace in this time right now is something that cannot be taken away if it's Christ's peace. If you try to get peace, well, I got peace in my government. I don't. I don't have peace with my military. We have single-handedly divided our military. And we're punishing people for standing up for what they believe in. Kind of what the point was. Well, it's a direct order. It's an unlawful order. There's this word in all of our promotion warrants that says, to all lawful orders. I still believe in sovereignty of each person. But that's another soapbox. So the gift that Jesus gave us was his peace. He left it with us. You need to understand, Jesus walked this earth in a time very similar to ours. They had no representation for taxation. The Romans needed a new Colosseum. Raise taxes. They needed a new war. Raise taxes. Let's just keep doing it. Let's keep raising taxes. And let's keep making people pay for it. But Jesus had peace, even when it came to paying his taxes. Peter was stressed out. Y'all remember this? Lord, we owe taxes. What do? Jesus said, go fishing, Peter. Why would he tell Peter to go fishing? Stop and think about it for just a minute. Oh, you know, I get it. You either like it or you don't. Okay, it's not called catching. Y'all figured that out. It's not called catching. It's called fishing. And sometimes when you're fishing, yeah, nothing's going to bite. I've had days where it's like, oh, why? It's a worm or it's a piece of liver or it's a fake something that looks like something you want to eat. Bite on it. Nothing. But sometimes when you have to sit and be still, you can hear the voice of God. And God can move in your heart because you're not at war. Peter was at war. And Jesus told him, he said, the first fish you catch. We don't know how long that was. We assume he went in, threw it in, boom. He might have had to sit there for 3 hours. But in that time, if Peter had not brought himself into peace with what Christ had said, it could have been another 3 hours. But we don't know. Everybody says, and when he threw the hook in, a fish came out. Yeah, that's not likely the way the story really went down. Because Peter was actually a fisherman who would go out on a boat with nets. Fishing with a hook was not as common because people didn't do it for recreation back then. They did it to stay alive. And out, he opened that up, and there was a coin. It wasn't a fake coin. God did not put that magically or make that coin appear. Well, how else did it get in? Well, let's see. How else do coins end up in the water? You got a pocket, you reach in your pocket, you pull your hand out, and the coin falls out. And if anybody's ever fished, you know what shiny things do to fish. It looks like a minnow and thump. God had it all orchestrated. Just like the fish that he prepared for Jonah. Wasn't a whale, we know that. Whales eat krill. They have these things that keep you from going through there to filter them. I always liked that picture my grandmother had in her Bible. She had a great big Bible. And it had Jonah crawling out of this gigantic catfish. It was awesome. I was like, man, that is a big catfish. And it really would be for a grown man to be crawling out of it. But God had prepared it. God had prepared that fish too. God knew that somebody was going to drop a coin. Or maybe somebody was making a wish. Who knows? But Jesus left us his peace. He also said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is vital for our walk with Christ. We have to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I believe we get a little bit on our first acceptance of Jesus Christ. We get a bit of that power. But in the end, we need more. You need to learn to walk. You know, today we look at fields that farmers have got these gigantic tractors in, right? I mean, they've got hundreds of horsepower. Just keep in mind that there wasn't too many years ago these same farmers would have been plowing them with mules and oxen. So we wanted more power. We got more stuff done with more power. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. All of our equipment just keeps getting bigger. I mean, I'm like, how big can you make a bulldozer? They have a bulldozer that would, I don't know if it would fit in this room. There are so many things in this world. Well, we got more power, we can get more done. And that's exactly the same concept. With the Holy Spirit, you can get more done. You get more done in your personal life. I've told you before, the Holy Spirit's not here to make us goofy. Most of that is us personally. And we blame it on God. So Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to come. Which lines us up for today's scripture, Matthew chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins who arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him and to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open the door to us. But he answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Those are sad words to hear. I don't know you. Now, there's some things we need to look at. Typically, anytime you see oil in the Bible, it is a representation, unless they're cooking with it. But in this is a parable. And not every parable can be taken literally as for what we think it means. I just read a big debate about this whole parable. But anyhow, but the oil. Oil typically represents the Holy Spirit, the anointing. They anointed kings, they anointed priests. The Bible tells us, if there's any sick among you, call for the elders, and they shall anoint them and pray over them. Well, in that case, the anointing oil is a point of contact, is all that it is. Okay? I personally believe the anointing is the anointing, whether there's oil or not. It can be water. It don't have to be anything. The anointing is the power. So we're going to look at it like that. We have 10 virgins who all had oil, but only 5 of them went and got more because the bridegroom was delayed. Now we need to understand a little bit about some of the marriage practices. We know that the bride or the groom would go from that point after they've entered into the engagement, and he would go back to his father's house and he would prepare a place for his bride. But he was not in charge of when it was done. Only his father could send him and tell him it was done. In other words, it had to be good enough for the father before he would allow his son to go get his bride. Now, Jesus is telling a parable. And it gets kind of a little hard to understand when we look at this, because the argument I saw in here was, there's 10. How can this represent the body of Christ? There's 10 women. Then there's a whole polygamy argument on there. And it's a parable, folks. Sometimes things are allegories. They're not what they represent something. So let me open your eyes to this. There are 10. 10 is the number of redemption. 10% tithe redeems the 90%. Rebecca was redeemed with 10 camels. That was her purchase price. She was redeemed. So redemption, number 10, means redemption. These are the redeemed. These are the people who believe in Christ. And I believe that Jesus used this in particular to show that there are many people. We have on our coins and such, we have e pluribus unum, out of many, one. Right? Well, that's what we are as the bride of Christ. We are many. We're many nations. We're many tongues. Many colors. And yet we are one. And that's, I believe, what Jesus was trying to say. He wasn't saying he was a polygamist, which was the argument. Well, it was very common, polygamy. You know, people with closed minds can today. Don't give me that garbage. Even then, they only married one at a time. So it was just something he was using to make a point. The bridegroom went away, was preparing the place. Again, we talked about this. He said, I go to prepare a place for you in my father's house. There are many mansions. He's going to prepare the chambers, the whole party. And so when we look at this, we need to understand they are waiting. But he's been delayed. Why has he been delayed? He's been delayed because he thought there was enough time, but there wasn't. The father was not ready. So even in his mind, he's thinking, okay, it's going to take me, because typically it was a year or two is what it would take. Seems like a long time to me just to go build a little hut. But that's not the point. There was so much more the man had to have in place. And he had to be able to provide for his family. My opinion, you ain't got a job, you ain't got no business getting married. You got to help provide. Somebody's got to work. Oh, we'll just have babies and live on welfare. Really? I know people have done that. Young lady I worked with, she was going to get fired, said, I'll just go have another baby. I'll go back on welfare. Seriously. It's the kind of mindset. God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. For a reason. And it wasn't just so he could control the money. Prove to you in Proverbs 31. How about we read that the way it really is written? It's not saying that every woman is going to go out there and be a stockbroker. Seriously, read this thing. This woman is a real estate tycoon. She's making money over here. She's picking out silks. She's doing this. She's doing that. And she's honoring her husband in all of it. That should just, I know that just smacked our Western civilization in the face. Because if she's honoring him, he's going to honor her as well. It's a reciprocal thing. Love and respect. You have to start doing it. So now, the bridegroom is delayed. They're sleeping. This is what I'm getting kind of tired of hearing. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! It ain't about being awake. They were asleep, all of them. They all went to sleep. They knew he was going to be delayed, but it says they got up when they heard the cry go out. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. And they woke up, they got up, and they trimmed their lamps. Remember, they had them turned down just a little bit so that it would conserve the oil, so that they could make it. We don't seem to understand sometimes conservation. Well, we need to just make this last a little bit longer. We need to stretch this out. Well, I've always drank it like that, the way I'm going to have it. Then you're going to run out and not have any. And see, and that's the foolish. They just lived and did whatever they wanted. They didn't want to go in and do what was required to obtain the oil. Here was something I thought was a very interesting perspective on this, was that this oil could also have represented their testimony. What they've done with their life. You know, people who are doing something for Christ usually don't walk away. People who just want to come to church, they walk away. They don't want to go out. They don't want to do anything for Christ. And I'm not saying you got to get up here and preach. That's not the point. The point is loving those that you're around with, your students, your co-workers. You don't know my co-workers. Listen, I had co-workers that thought it was funny to hold you down and jump on you. And you were to like it, and you were to suck it up. I had a co-worker that thought it was funny to grab my chest hair and pull it out by the handful. Because he outranked me, I couldn't do anything to him. Those were my co-workers, my brothers in arms. We'll die for each other. It took me 6 months for that hair to grow back. And I ain't gonna lie, it hurt. We're supposed to love the unlovable. Oh, it's easy to love. They're just such a good person. I just love them. I just love them, love them. No. Yeah, that's great. That's great. You can love them. You need to love the person who bites you 5 times. Who hisses at you. Who swats at you. That's who you've got to love. And I think that's what God's trying to get through to me. But that's what we have to do. So they didn't take the time that while they were part of the body of Christ to develop their own personal walk, they had nothing to trim with. They couldn't turn it up. They couldn't say, this is what I've gone through, and this is how Christ helped me through it. And this is the testimony. We read on in Revelation, I might be getting ahead of myself here, but I'm going to keep rolling. It says they overcame by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. The word of their testimony. What's your testimony? Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. You know, last week the devil just beat up on me, man. The devil's just kicking my butt. That ain't a testimony. I'll tell you right now, you just gave the devil more glory than you ever did God. You know what a testimony is? I got knocked down. But Jesus came and he reached through the water and he pulled me back up. And I kept walking. And I kept reaching out to the people. I kept trying to help those, hold their hands to help them walk on the water. I kept doing it no matter what. That's a testimony. I just keep getting knocked down every 5 days, Pastor. I just keep getting knocked down. Sometimes you need to walk away from some people. I mean, you guys had to, right? I know. I had to. I had to walk away from people. They weren't good for me. I had sergeants telling me, they aren't good for you. You're a good Marine. They aren't. But I was so desperate for friendship, I didn't care. But God saw to it that we just kind of went separate ways, and that was that. I still pray for him because he needs Jesus. Our testimony will be what we stand there and we're overcoming the enemy with. Do you know what? I used to hate this person, but God dealt with me. And I just had to keep loving them. And you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going. It doesn't mean you don't get tired, folks. Look at Jesus' words. How long do I have to carry you? You need to be walking. And that's what is missing sometimes in the church. We keep enabling people to stay where they're at. And we tell them that the only time you can really feel empowered is when we're having a roll on the floor, laughing until you're crying, speaking in tongues kind of meeting. I've been touched the most when there was hardly anything said. There was no music playing. It was just the power of the Holy Spirit falling. And this took place in 1985 in fairgrounds in Waukegan, Illinois. The group Jerusalem was playing. They're from Sweden. And I forget what song they were playing. But there's 5 to 10,000 people. It was like Woodstock, except Christians. There were a few who weren't because we could smell the weed. But it was just a big outdoor concert. It was a festival. You got people out there screaming and shouting and jumping up and down, knocking beach balls everywhere. And it was a good time. It was fun. It was loud. But when, I don't even know the guy's name, but he was the lead singer, he began to preach and talking, first off, about how America had become Babylon. And it breaks Europe's heart. Do you guys understand this? It's breaking Christians' hearts around the world to see America become what it's become with its church. We've become greedy. We got to be the biggest church. No, you just need to be the best doggone church that you can be. We won't be the biggest. God's already told me that. But we're going to be the best one that we can be. Now, and that, as he began to preach, folks, I'm telling you, I mean, just a few minutes before, they were rocking and they were jumping around. All the 80s hair was going everywhere. And we were all down there screaming and hollering. And then he just began to preach, and the Holy Spirit fell on that crowd. And we calmed down. And that man, there wasn't people hollering. There wasn't people crying. It was just dead silence as the Holy Spirit fell on that entire crowd. I remember that more than I remember some of the others, because that's when God really began working on me, working in me. And he was building me up for things to come yet. Because that was just the beginning of sorrows to a degree. But it was because of that anointing. See, I have a testimony. Oh, yeah, you went out and you felt like you was called from a young man and went to seminary school, huh? No, it floors people. I've never been to seminary until they realize that, yeah, he doesn't talk like he's been to seminary school. Because I have a testimony. I've walked the walk I'm telling you to walk. I've been where we didn't have squat. We didn't have two nickels to rub together. I got vacation time. What am I going to do? I can't afford to go on vacation. So I took him as sick days. Well, I work through my sickness. Yeah, you spread it around to everybody at work. We've known how this works for a very long time. But our pride and arrogance gets in our way. And that's the body of Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, here's what I'm going to tell you. There's people right now even saying that, well, if you're sick, you need to be in the church. You need to be there. No. We got enough of it fighting right now. Stay home. You got Facebook? Get online. Encourage your faith. Stir it up. We are the body of Christ. We are required to have a testimony that when we go back to the bridegroom, we can say, Jesus, I walked your road. I know what it was like to be betrayed. I know what it was like to be laughed at by your family. I know what it was like to be talked about. I know what it was like to look stupid in front of my friends because I wouldn't bow to their idol. These others, they got saved. They didn't want a testimony. They didn't want to go any further. They did not have the Holy Spirit that helped them. I promise you, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in 1985 in my life is why I was able to make it through it all. Because otherwise, I'd have walked away for good. And had every right to, in my opinion. But it was my opinion and not a good one. Need a drink. So when they went in, they're feasting. The feast lasted for 7 days, a marriage supper. It was a whole feast. Every day was a party. Sometime during that time, the other five decided to show up. Hey, let us in. We got our oil. We got our testimony. They made fun of us. We had to walk in faith. We got it. I don't know you. I never knew you. Go away. See, that's not what I want to hear Jesus say. I never knew you. But we know he'll say this to the goats, right? Parable of the sheep and the goats, depart, for I never knew you, and you never knew me. Everybody's still thinking that, oh, we're going to be judged because we didn't go out and we weren't supporting Brother Blabbermouth about his 10 million people crusade. That ain't what you're going to be judged on. You're going to be judged on how you treated your neighbor. You're going to be judged on how you treated the least of these. That's scripture. That's how you're going to be judged. How you treated those you despised. Think about it for a minute. You know, I can't stand people who are trafficking humans. Drugs. Y'all are paying attention. We are praying that they find Jesus. Sometimes they need to get caught. Just kind of like an alcoholic needs to come to the revelation, I'm an alcoholic. Oh, I got prayed for. Brother Blabbermouth, he prayed for me and I got delivered right then and there. Let me hear about your walk then. Let me hear about your sweats. Let me hear about the temptation every time you walked by in the aisle. Oh, I never came back up. Praise God. You're 1 in 100 million. Because I couldn't go to Lowe's. Because this spring they had those whiskey barrel planters. And I'd smell it full of water, and that smell would come up, and a part of me wanted to just stick my head in the barrel. However, the crap that was on top of it kept me out of it. But you see, it was still, God took the desire, but there was still that burning. It would rise up and, yeah, that's going to be smooth. And y'all know the joke with that in whiskey. Oh, that's smooth. As it burns its way through your colon. We are the body of Christ. We're the bride. We are supposed to be coming back spotless and without blemish. Paul talked about the blemishes on their love fests, which was basically their times of communion and such. And it was self-righteous, religious people. I don't need that. I've been going to that church for 50 years now. That don't mean nothing. You still need to get saved. You still have to get saved. I don't care if you were raised in it. Each one of my boys have had to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They all had to do it. And then when they got older, then they had to make a decision a man had to make. I'm going to follow Jesus. See, when you're living at home, it's kind of easy. I'm going to just tell you that right now. In my house when I was growing up, you didn't have a choice. You went to church. And kind of the way it was in our house, or is. You live here, you go to church. The true test comes when you move out. Well, I just don't want my... Listen. Pray, cast your bread upon the waters, honey. And then 7 days, that's how the parable goes about it, it'll come back. Pray over them. You know, when Jesse told us he was enlisting, and then we left. You know, I knew how Mama was. She was talking to him. She just did the exact same things my mama did. But having hoed to that row, I'm trusting he's going to come back completely. Because he doesn't get the same opportunities to go to church. You're on duty, you get into habits, you don't go to church, and next thing you know, it's been a year since you've been to church. I'm not saying he's out sinning. Don't go anybody running off goofy. I know this is a good thing for him. He's away from all of us, and he has to be his own man. Just like Joshua, just like Justin, they all have to be their own men. I had to be my own man. I had to stand on my feet, not hers, not mommy and daddy's, not my preacher's, my feet. Because it's my feet that's going to be in the storm. It's my feet that are going to run. And there was a time in life I would run from the battle. But because of some of the things I've been through, God has trained me and taught me, I'll be with you to run through the battle. And note, I said through the battle. Well, I'm going to go to the battle. No, I'm going through the battle. I'm going to be done with it. These five foolish virgins, they'd kept all the same beliefs. They were virgins. They were still pure. But they never did anything else with their life. They didn't help people. They didn't put themselves in places where I'm probably going to get hurt. If you're dealing with people, you're going to get hurt, right? That's kind of the, not everybody, but somebody. You know, I love watching these snake videos on Facebook where these guys are handling these big snakes. Every now and then, they get bit. You know what's hilarious, though? And Steve Irwin was the first one I ever saw do this. He got bit, that python. She just, you could see her working her teeth because they're hooked backwards. You could see her working her teeth into his arm. He didn't punch her. I would have punched the snake. He didn't punch her. He knew what he was doing, and he knew that he might get bit. And she's only doing what she knows to do. And that snake was just working. Now, he did eventually get his arm out and had to get a few shots. But he expected it. It's going to happen. And the thing of it is, most of the time, it wasn't intentional. It's just stupidity that the devil brings into the situation, creates an offense. Next thing you know, you're walking around, you got barbed wire and concertina wire all around you. Nobody can get near you because now you're poison. These five virgins that made it, I've told you before that I believe it's a sign to show the body of Christ. Not everybody who is said, and Jesus himself taught about this, not everybody that calls me Lord will make it because of the way they have acted, the way they have treated people. We have to be vigilant. Because Jesus was telling this parable for a reason. He said, you don't know the day, you don't know the hour when the Son of Man will come like a thief in the night. And that was the tradition. The Father knew what he was doing, and he would send the Son out at night on purpose to steal the bride away as a thief in the night. And that is the actual part of the some of the customs. Now, like I said, if you ever decide to study some of this stuff for yourself, you will find out that customs varied even by, we'll call them by counties. One rabbi might be okay with something, the other rabbi's not. Just like the Amish around here, you might have one bishop over here that says, yeah, you can use battery powered drills. The other bishop says, no, they're the sin. I think they're both nuts. But one will allow it because he realizes we gotta our way of life is dying. We can't compete. These tools help our people compete. One says, no, I don't want any lights on the buggy. The other one says, I just buried a family yesterday. I want lights on the buggies. And I think they need lights on the buggies. Light them things up. But like a thief in the night, Jesus is going to come get his bride because the Father says, it's ready. You ever wonder what we're waiting on? It's our habitation. It's not ready yet. Don't ask me. Somebody will try to tell you what they know about it, but I'm not in heaven. I haven't had a vision into heaven. I don't know what's going on in heaven right now. But I know we got just a little bit of time, but it's getting close. It's getting close. The cry is going out, folks. Get ready. The bridegroom is coming. All right, let's stand. And for those of you who think that I've kind of backed off from believing in faith on healing, I have absolutely not. None whatsoever have I backed off in the power of God. I've just realized that I don't have to be stupid and teach people to get hurt to prove their faith. That's called showing off. And anytime we use the power of God to show off, it's witchcraft. I still pray. I still believe. I know what God does. I know God heals. I know God protects. I believe in the power of God. The same power that raised Jesus Christ dwells in me. So I will believe in that power as it pertains to healing. But I also know we have to go through some things. We're going to go through some things. I have a testimony. I got COVID and I lived. Did it stink? Absolutely. But so does the flu. The 3 running years before COVID, I had walking pneumonia. Consecutively. So, I just kept moving. I just lived my life. And again, we're not talking about any of the political garbage that's going on. I'm talking about, let's just trust God. Let's live. Let's believe in God's healing. Listen, cold or COVID, I don't care. It stinks when you're sick. It's just all there is to it. And go ahead.
I just want to, you know, mention, everybody be like, duh, no kidding. But what he's preaching on today as far as the wise virgins, it was their relationship with the Holy Spirit that made them wise. And the Holy Spirit tells us what to do when we're in whether it's sickness, whether it's financial problems, whatever it is. That's why we have to have those lamps full of him, is because he's the one that leads us and guides us, and that's why he's so important.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I mean, and it's not just this. Folks, we've seen shortages on stuff that we never thought we'd see short. Toilet paper, really? I mean, I think everybody in here, I'm looking around, probably has decorated somebody's tree in their front yard with at least one roll. That's how we treated it. It was bountiful. We just threw it. But then all of a sudden, there ain't a roll to be had. And then all those people that went and bought the stores out and tried to return it. That's what you get for being greedy. We got to trust God. Like I said, there's times coming when things are inflation. The inflation we have now is off the charts. It's ridiculous. There are powers at work in this world that have to rise up. But we just have to stand and trust God. Well, I don't know how. You better trust God through your cold. Start there. You got a cold? Start trusting God. Well, I want to take some medicine. So take some medicine. The Bible does not say you can't take medicine. Let's get that established. There was a whole doctrine, I know in the 80s at least, because that's when I was coming of age in my mind on this. You can't take medicine in faith. Well, you know what? You're goofy. I take ibuprofen regularly. I feel like I've had a tree fall on me. It helps. Oh, but Pastor, you're addicted. I'm not addicted to it. I don't want to take it because I know what it does to my stomach. But I also don't like achies. Yeah, Pastor, sounds like you need to preach what you're talking. Listen, do you know how much God has done in my life, how much he's protected me and how much he's healed me of? I done told you I had walking pneumonia 3 years consecutively, and that's as far as it went. And I did have it diagnosed, so anybody curious? Yeah, it's just a really, really, really heavy cold that hurts. But got through it. God healed me. I got through it. Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Paul told Timothy, drink a little wine for your stomach. Wait a minute. Timothy wouldn't drink wine because he was a teetotaler and believed that it was wrong. Paul was telling him, take some medicine, dude. You can have some medicine. It'll calm your stomach. We don't need to be stupid. We don't need to be goofy. We need to be smart. God tells you, don't take that, don't take that. But if you need to be walking in absolute faith. There are things that we don't know, or you need to be taking something. They gave me malaria pills when I was in the Philippines, every 2 weeks. And I thought they were actually good. I have some weird taste buds, apparently, because nobody else did. We will walk by faith in everything we do, with our relationships with our children, our relationships with our parents, our relationships with our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends. And we need to encourage them. Sometimes God may need you to say, hey, why don't you go to the doctor? But there are people that think that it's a sin if you go to the doctor. That's not faith. Anybody remember what Luke did? Luke wrote the book of Luke, the book of Acts, all the miracles. Y'all remember what his profession was? He was a doctor. God's not against doctors. Anyhow. Well, let's pray and I'll dismiss you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are grateful to be part of the body of Christ. Lord, I pray right now that you help us all to take this message personally and to trim our own lamps. Cut off the dead and let that light burn brightly. Father, I pray for power and strength to every believer right now that's at the sound of my voice that would love to have it. Right now, Father, if they're asking for your Holy Spirit, pour your Holy Spirit out upon them. Father, give them the courage to rise up above their circumstances. Father, I thank you right now that you're also healing those who are sick. Father, we speak life into their bodies. We curse this sickness and this disease right now in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Father, right now to clear their lungs. Heal pneumonia in Jesus' name. Dry it up. We curse that disease. We curse COVID in Jesus' name. I speak life, Father. Your healing power. Father, strengthen their bodies and cause the immune system that you created. You created this, Father, to rise up and attack these things. Cause their bodies to rise up and kick this disease out. Father, I thank you right now that you're strengthening them, you're encouraging them, you're filling them with your power. And now, Lord God, I thank you for your people. I bless them here today, Father. I pray that you go with them this week, that you go into the businesses with them, you go out of the businesses with them, Father, but your presence will be known. Father, wherever they may people feel your love and your warmth, Father. Thank you, Father, that you're moving right now in Jesus' name. Amen.